Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this, talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
Welcome to Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny show. Joining me today is Fran Mirabella.
Hey, Guardians.
Sean Finnegan.
Hello, everyone.
And you guys are here, and we're going to chat with you about some cool Destiny topics. We're going to hit on the Bungie weekly update, which we do every week. But also, we're going to take a look at the kind of chatter that's happening in the community right now, including how they feel about old DLC, and how they feel about some of the design philosophies with the new raid and old raids.
Not a show about PvP for once.
Yeah, right?
All right.
It's kind of nice. So first up, the big news, the weekly update.
I don't know if it's big news, but it's a news.
The post that yeah. Bungie made about the thing.
They said they're going to do Twitch streams, and they've been working on a little setup so they could do it easily. And now they've talked about a little bit of the programming that they're thinking about.
Yeah, so what they're going to do initially. So first of all, they're going to do ride-alongs. You're going to basically hang out with Bungie, and we're going to get to see behind the scenes of how they created levels. They've done this before. They've done it with Cosmodrome. They've done it with Mars. And they're kind of cool. You get some designer insights as to like challenges that they had designing the levels.
It's really just behind the scenes. I mean, I'm sure they've been thinking about this for a very long time, but you know, you're so busy in your day-to-day jobs, it's hard to carve out, I think, like, hey, can three of you go spend an hour to like go do a Let's Play? It's funny, the irony is, we're talking about this, I think last week even, how we have to find time for this. It's just a half hour, but it's three people. We have stuff going on. So anyway, I'm glad to see they're putting a stake in the ground. It's clear that they're making a programming wheel. Do you want to go over what the programming is?
Yeah, so we've already seen a few, but now they're going to go with Andrew Hopps and senior designer Brian Frank, and they're going to explore the art and design behind Oryx's inscrutable loot-filled fortress, the Dreadnought.
I know that's not true, so I don't know why you'd...
And then after that, we're going to do a ride-along with the audio team focusing on all aspects of its creative process, from sound effects to dialogue. And then another episode, we'll look into Clan Resolute. That episode in particular will focus on what it means to be part of an in-game clan.
Yeah, I was going to say they help them actually do some of the bug testing and stuff, I think, right?
So,
report back.
So as a guy who went to college and wanted to be a game designer, this stuff is super interesting to me. The community at large, however, I don't know if they're... I think the hardcore are going to enjoy these ride-alongs.
What I was going to say. It kind of hits on two notes, right? Like, Bungie's been criticized in the past for being very opaque with their communication with the audience, right? Like, people often don't know what Bungie's working on, if they're working on anything. Obviously, we know they're working on stuff all the time.
Great use of vocabulary, Sean.
You're
quite see-through.
Not transparent.
Yeah.
And this is a really good thing that they can do to kind of be constantly engaged with the community and kind of letting them in on what they're working on or how they work on things. So that's one great thing about it. But like you said, I think this is something that is going to be more enjoyed by the hardcore fans of Destiny, those people who have interest beyond just playing the game, which I would say is probably not the majority of the audience, right?
Like,
most people just want to play Destiny and play new stuff.
It's like... You know, Blu-rays before and now, like the extras on getting stuff. Like, not everybody wants to watch, like,
the
you director's know, Avatar's,
commentary.
Yeah, director's commentary. But some people are crazy about that.
Yeah, like, I'm a big movies guy, and this is something I say all the time. But, like, one of these things that I love to do is I'll go watch a movie that I love, and then instantly I'll just play the movie again with the director's commentary.
Yeah.
Just so I can hear, like, all the insights and stuff that the challenges that they faced and kind of what the creative decisions they were wrestling with at the time. That's all very interesting to me. And I can imagine that if if you're a huge fan of Destiny or you're like Destin
yeah.
and you have an interest in game design, that you'll probably get like a lot of cool insight to how big AAA shooters are made.
That's what I'm hoping. You know, I always know that I'm playing the objective card that, well, we don't know how it was mm-hmm. before we jump to conclusions, yada, yada. But maybe out of this, we get some insights, you know. Mm-hmm. We'll see how much they really share. I'm sure PR, knowing how PR works, is a little scared of a totally. Live environment. And that was probably part of the thing where they're like, I don't know that I want your designers on a live stream. And like, next thing you know, someone slips up and reveals like something that's for the next game.
They've already had.
Two, or what was it? Last of Us 2 in their own live stream. Remember that?
Oh, I don't remember this.
During a Sony live stream, a Naughty Dog designer revealed that Last of Us 2 was a thing.
Exactly. See, like when you're performing live before like that, that was and you announced. Blurt something out, man.
Because you're so used to talking with the people you're communicating with.
And it was
on the
super small. He just goes, and with the game's sequel, like they were playing The Last of Us, and he goes, and with the sequel, and we were like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Sequel? So there is a sequel. Like, we all knew it was coming. Mm-hmm. But
yeah,
you just confirmed
exactly
that.
What that's
those are like, well, whoops.
Totally, those are highly controlled messages. So, and you know, that's I think was probably some of the fear interacting with the community, which is what this is. Ride along. It's not just watch us ride. So they're going to have to answer questions. But they've been doing this long enough, and they should know how to moderate through that. But we hope there's some slip ups, obviously.
And when there's big content that drops, we'll get our first look with their streams. They've confirmed that. Yeah. They've done that in the past, also.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, I mean, why don't we move on to that? Right, like they're talking about.
Yeah, go
I mean,
ahead.
Should we move on to that?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, they've obviously been talking about the spring update is coming. It sounds like it's going to be part of these ride-alongs. Like, it, you know, we saw that with Prison of Elders. Mm-hmm. They did, like, the live, bigger streams. So Bungie...
Light level increase, new PvE events.
Yeah, they said this last week, by the way. They just are doing this thing where they're like, we hear you. We know you want us to be more transparent. So as a reminder...
Less opaque.
Yes, less opaque. They said they will be unveiling new details for the spring update. Spring is defined as several months of the year, by the way, so we don't know. I'm betting on late May again, though an exact date for the announcement has not been set. When do you guys think, you know, the announcement might come? I mean, it's end of February, so whatever. If House of Wolves came out the end of May last year.
Second week of May.
I'll bet you it's going to be late in May because I'll bet you that I'll bet you they'll just tie it in with E3. Like, whatever they're announcing will be playable or, like, showable at E3 as well.
Well, no, the spring update's going to hit
in the
spring.
Oh, it'll go live.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, we're going to get an update before E3. I'm very confident.
Right, but I mean, what they've done is, like, a lot of games have released just prior to E3, and then, like, there's still a kind of headliner at E3 just, like, weeks later. Like, Last of Us was one of those great examples that was just like that. It was still big at the Sony conference, even if it had just released. Mm-hmm. You don't think that there's any chance of that being Destiny?
I don't think it's going to come that late. Like, E3 is going to be about the September or October release or whatever that's going to be, and it's going to be big, you know, hopefully. Whereas this is the spring update. So I really actually don't remember.
So maybe if that's the case, then maybe it's earlier. Maybe it'll come, like, because if, let's say we assume that whatever Sony decides to talk about as far as Destiny goes at E3 will be that big Taken King 2 or whatever it is in September. Like, maybe we get the update sooner. Right.
So I April? Think it should be March, but we know their next three live streams, what they have scheduled out, so there's no way it's going to be in March unless it's the last week. So I don't think it'll be April. That seems like a weird time to drop DLC.
What if they dropped it on
it'll
April
be May.
Fools.
It'll be second week of May.
I think
that's
we're talking about two different things, though. Yeah. I was asking, when do we think we'll just hear more on the spring update? The
last week of March.
Okay, not when will the DLC be released, and not when will they actually show it. So I actually think they will start to I think they'll start to show off some details. Yeah, maybe the end of March or beginning of April.
We'll get screenshots.
Now, maybe just hinting, we're going to show you more. Here's a glimpse of things to come, you know, and then they'll do their big event to, like, peel the wrapper off on whatever the late April or May update is, whatever that may be.
If that is the timeline they go with, I mean, maybe we'll see it in April. I don't think of April as a month that you see add-ons to
you
products.
You don't, but again, think
it's
of
like
what
May.
Think of like just the sequence of how this the campaigns need to go. Mm-hmm. So, like, for example, when did they drop the Taken King trailer? E3 last year, right?
Yeah.
So they had to get ahead of that and make sure House of Wolves was out the door and a thing before E3. Otherwise, they start overlapping and it's confusing. You know, they have to think about that. So that's why I think well before May, so in April, we'll hear more. I don't know if we'll see it, But that's what they have to get it out. Maybe there will even be a trailer, right? Because trailer is not showing it. Mm-hmm. So that's what I was saying.
Changing my answer. Last week of April, like into May.
There you
go. Right at the beginning of May.
I think somewhere in there we'll see more, but they won't show it. Yeah, I think maybe till who knows, beginning of May. Like the actual who knows if it's an hour long stream. But that stuff happens again like a week before it's out. Remember, that's how they're doing this.
So I have a question for you guys. We know what we're going to see for the next 3 weeks. Not a lot's going on in Destiny. We have Iron Banner. Trials is going on as it does all the time. That's kind of worrisome. How do you guys feel?
I mean, I think that this is, like I said, designed to be a little bit of a stopgap to buy them some more time, right? Like, I don't think there's any way that they can push content out the door faster than they already are.
Yeah.
So there are going to be some of these dead points. It kind of sucks because, like...
You want to play.
Yeah, I want to play. Like, I
but
do
I have
really,
no reason to.
I do really... I mean, I love Destiny. I've spent many, many hours playing it. But like I said on many episodes before, like, I am very progression-oriented. Mm-hmm. And I'm right at the top of the mountain. Like, I don't have to... That one extra point of light, like I said, I'm 319 on both characters. Mm-hmm. Like... And I won't play a third.
They're bumping it to 330 also, so you have no reason to even strive towards that.
Not
320
confirmed,
right now.
Speculated.
Yeah, but I mean, right
there's
now,
items
in the database.
In their database that are 330.
Oh, yeah, remember that item that was in the database that was a material that would increase your drop rate? And,
no, that was in the code. That was reverse engineered
okay,
from the code.
Okay, fair, but the point is, it's not what's in the database is not necessarily the
right,
final
so,
thing.
Right, but what I mean is currently in the game, we are at 320 light, and I'm at 319, which means like that little bit of progression that I could do isn't worth it for me. Isn't worth the massive amount of effort, right? Like, because I'm also about efficiency, right?
So there's no way I'm spending time to grind to 320.
Yeah, like I haven't touched.
I'll take my 320 ghost though from Crimson Days.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I got the candy show.
That's easy enough. That's an easy bar that you can reach that'll bring me back. If they do more stuff like that,
great. Well, the other thing is like it doesn't. I'm not even arguing that it has to be easy, but it has to be worthwhile for sure. Yeah. Like it can be hard if it's worthwhile, but it's not. Like the DPS increase you get from being 320 versus 319 is. I wouldn't even call it negligible. I would say there is no DPS difference, right? Like that anyone can notice scientifically. Yep. So why even bother? That's a bummer because I love Destiny and I want to play it. But like I said, the last 2 months I've just been playing Halo. And then I actually come back to Destiny and I'm like, where are all the frames?
Yeah, right? I know. It's hard to switch from 60 to 30.
Here's a bizarre thing to me. Why not bring back Sparrow Racing? Why not keep it in there?
Actually,
it's a great fun event.
I did like
Sparrow
Racing.
Why the heck would they just, okay, it's gone. You spent your $10.
So
see ya.
You are summing up the exact problem.
Yeah.
They got to the end of the year in December. Mm-hmm. There was no Dark Below release. Mm-hmm. They're scraping with like different variations on Iron Banner and whatever. They got SRL.
That's
a
great
exactly.
Wording of how
SRL,
they are doing
it. They scraped that together, I think. And by the way, good job. I think the community liked it. Some people didn't care, but like you said, great. Something else to do.
Yeah.
Like it's nice to hop in. You know, we suffer from these weekly drops because like I kind of, I'm at the point in the game where I kind of might want to hop in, do a little better.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll do some trials, but maybe I'll hop over to SRL. But because it's all segmented up because of this calendar, you don't have a lot of stuff to do all the time. But anyway, for me, and I think you guys are echoing the same thing, it's like you kind of got to January and just not much happening.
Yep.
And they got like Crimson Doubles, but honestly, it really was like playing a weird trials card.
Yep.
So it was fun. I actually like the Elimination 2v2, but it wasn't. The reward was not there. And in fact, they apparently, you know, it sounded to me like they accidentally screwed up the drop rate. So instead of pissing off the community, they said, okay, just play the 7 matches. We're not going to make you guys, like, waste 20 hours of your time to get a 320 ghost. Good call, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay to not make the community play 20 hours every weekend. Like, that's not a good metric of success if they're mad half the time.
Yeah.
So anyway, but the point is it wasn't that fun. So long story short, they're out of stuff. So I think, SRL's probably
bring it
not,
back. Why not?
I'm sure it will be the end of the month, but what are they going to do if they bring it back this week?
Yeah.
You see what I mean? Like,
and
this
then people
week's
are
Iron
bored
Banner.
Of it in 2 weeks.
So so that's the thing. Like, it's probably not next week. They would have talked about it. So maybe it's 2 weeks from now with a new map maybe. Cool. Mm-hmm. They've made it through, like, almost the end of March. But that's what's going on.
Yeah.
They're literally like, how are we going to make it to this update? Good news for me. I'm happy. I'm finally like, you know what? I like playing trials once a weekend. Banner's fun, you know, because I'm trying to get those drops still. I do still need those drops, but I don't want to sink a ton of time. Some good stuff in Banner this week, by the way. The Tormod's Bellows or whatever is three in the tube and tracking, which is a great role. So go up, get to level 5 if you're going to play Banner. But anyway, where I'm going with this is I'm kind of happy because, like, I want to play Firewatch. I got in time with the Division beta.
Yeah.
And I went and started playing The Witness, and, like, I am definitely playing too much Destiny. It's a nice time to – it's a, almost a spring break.
That's actually a really good point. It's like we've seen people say it before, but, like, people – for some reason, there doesn't seem to be, like, the general consensus that Destiny's an okay game to walk away from. Like – this is a perfect time to be like, yo, I've been playing too much Destiny. Let's play some other stuff out there. Like, as someone who did who has been taking a break from it for, like, a month, it's so nice to go back to other games and play that. Like, you know which game I went back and started finishing? Was Batman Arkham Knight.
Nice.
Like, I didn't finish that the first time around. And I go back, I'm like, this is awesome. Like,
I'm almost to the point where I'm like, I'll just wait for Destiny 2.
Yeah.
Like, we think it's coming at E3.
Well, like, or you mean the big update at the end of the year?
At least the... if the big if spring update, I'll go check it out, but that's like, what, 4 hours of my time, max? You know?
I don't know how you're playing this that update in 4 hours, Destin. Are you going to get like one
It's not going to be that
Taking
big.
Taking King was 4 to 6 hours.
Yeah.
Not to get all the drops.
Oh, no, Taking King
is
the
only reason to play, but yeah.
I'm saying the spring update, I don't think it's going to be that huge, but if hopefully I'm wrong, and there's tons of great stuff to play, but I just...
Well, the spring update? I'm
probably just going to tear through it, and then goes back on the shelf.
I'm rolling my eyes at that only because, like, you're going to want the new exotic or whatever and this other legendary weapon, and that you will not be able to do in 4 hours.
So that's actually a good transition point.
Banner alone takes, like, 6 to 8 hours, you know.
So that's a good transition point into this. We're going to talk a little bit about the conversations that are going on in the community right now, and one of those conversations are, had I known...
That was the water glass.
Sure, friend.
No one even heard it.
It was making a squeaky sound.
Had I known with each DLC that older content would become obsolete or dropped from rotation, I probably wouldn't have bought into Destiny. This is a Reddit thread from Brian ES, and he said, or at least not put so much effort into it. And that's one big concern. As Destiny has released each piece of DLC or each update, they've literally made everything else basically obsolete or much less worth your time. Because you're now chasing that new high of 330, which was what we think the next update will bring, or the new gun that is released, or the new exotic, because that's the new thing you need to get.
Yeah, maybe the best example is when Prison of Elders, you know, rolled around, and, you know, you still could use some of those older weapons and stuff, but there just wasn't a big incentive to go back to Vault of Glass and stuff like that.
Exactly.
So that's what he's talking about. It's like, well, I really liked playing Vault of Glass. There's just no more incentive. Well, like, it didn't help you hit level 34.
Like,
that's
DLC 1, you go to Dark Below, you hit max level, and then they release the next DLC, and it's just like, well, that was pointless. Like, all these weapons are
it's not pointless, right?
Actually, at that point, the weapons were still really great. So
the
you can
were
actually
still good if you,
you
didn't
could
have
still it, there was still a reason to go to that raid. There was still a reason to go to Vault of Glass, and then you could go into Prison of Elders.
But what he's talking about, I believe, is that it didn't help you hit level 34 to go to Vault of Glass. Right, you weren't getting helmet drops.
Exactly. No, but you could still go for the weapons because the weapons were still viable at that point.
That's true. Yeah, you know. But I think what he's talking about is that, right? It started to negate the reasons to go back. I mean, I've never quite understood that, like, why they don't bring all the raids up at the same time. I wonder if it's bug related, but I also wonder if it's a philosophy of keeping the community focused on certain tasks. But I will say
crazy.
It is extremely strange to me that there's not a Vault of Glass very hard at this point. I really thought, what an easy add, you know, all this, you know, there's no content, you know, to play right now. It seems like relatively easy to, like,
bump up the light level on the gear you get
this
from
Vault. Coming from three non-game designers, by the way, just saying.
Yeah, I'm
on your side. I don't know why.
Well,
either.
Because it's hard to understand why don't you? What, you can't just make them 320 weapons and then, well, problem solved. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean?
So here's my problem with it. Like, we're sitting here looking at what can we do right now. Iron Banner to reach 320. We can do
once a month.
We can do the raid once a week, and we
challenge.
Can do Trials of Osiris. So two PvP things, one PvE. And you have all this phenomenal content that's literally just wasting away.
Yeah, like Vault is fun. I mean, I'm sure that it is coming.
It's like, it's just mind-boggling to me that they literally are making their old content obsolete to focus on three events.
I mean, I think we're all on the same page here. Yeah. We would all love to see those old raids and old content come back. Like, for weeks, for episodes, I've been saying that they should add all of the strikes into the heroic strike playlist. Mm-hmm. Like, why isn't that the case? I don't know. It doesn't seem that difficult for me to take content that's already in the game, update it just a little bit, so that people who are now higher than the level it once existed at can play it. I'm on your side there. We're getting a little away from the thread question, though, which is the whole idea of content staying relevant throughout Destiny's lifecycle.
Yeah.
And he even says, you know, he says, edit, I need to add this for those telling me that's how MMOs are. Bungie tried their hardest to tell everyone that this was not an MMO. When asked about Destiny being called an MMO, this is what they had to say as part of the latest weekly update, blah, blah, blah. We like
shared
the discussion.
World shooter.
Yeah, we like the discussion and the constant debate about how to classify this game. Okay, so here's the thing.
They didn't classify it, actually.
Yeah, so Bungie doesn't strive to classify it. They're hesitant in calling it an MMORPG
because
it's not technically, yeah. We're not, it's instance, you're not a shared, the world persists, but it's not shared between all players on a server type thing at all times like a MMO traditionally is. But I think the philosophy of an MMO still stands. Like, the gameplay loop of Destiny is all about progression and chasing things that are better than what you currently have. Mm-hmm. If that is the gameplay loop and we can agree on that, then you have to know that stuff's going to go out of date eventually. Mm-hmm. Like, in other games, that's what happens, right? Like, you get a bunch of really good gear. It helps you do things efficiently for a certain period of time. But eventually, when new stuff releases and new content releases, that old stuff goes the way of the dodo. And it kind of sucks, but that's the gameplay loop. Like, I don't know that it's valid criticism. Well, I mean, it's totally valid. You can feel disappointed, but I don't think that it's... I don't think that you can actually criticize Bungie for doing that because they were always upfront about how that was going to be. That's the game.
So let's look at two other threads that are going on in the community right now. This is from Axe 31. Bungie, I have completed hard mode raid 56 times according to Destiny Tracker and have not received a single 320 class item. Working as intended? And the second thread is Crazy Dalla Day ZZ. These are from Reddit. Remember when raid weapons were actually sought after instead of used as infusion fuel? I love how they completely changed the design of the raid weapons, but I absolutely hate how Cocoon is taken up a potentially useful perk slot. And Sean,
Cocoon's pretty good.
I have to
In the raid.
Raid weapons.
Exactly. So you get these weapons that can only be used in that same raid to get better drops. Mm-hmm. There has to be more avenues for progression in Destiny. We have three avenues right now, and that's it. That's how you level up to max level. What if you maxed out by going through Vault of Glass and getting the 320 or Dark Below? That makes that content relevant again. There has to be more ways to progress. And there's literally one way that you can do if you're PvE. You can only do that raid over and over and over again, and you're going to lose your player base. Your player base is just going to bail.
But let's separate those things. The first question was actually, is the raid working as intended? Mm-hmm. I believe that's what he was getting at. I played 56 times. I've not gotten a single 320 class item.
And
guess
that's
what?
The only way you can
Me
get
neither.
It.
I've not. We none
Through
of us. So,
PvE.
So
yeah.
A lot of us didn't get the 320 ghost. Clearly, they set that to be more rare, but man, like, nobody's getting it. Problem solved with Crimson Doubles. Mm-hmm. It seemed like they kind of just had to do that almost. I don't think that was the plan.
Yeah.
So the class item, and maybe this is a question of, like, maybe the next SRL, that's the drop.
Yeah.
Is they're going to solve it with that. Because that's how they were solving the helmet drops from the raid. So I would actually say, yes, I believe the raid RNG is just not tweaked quite right. And however the complexity of all this works, just a reality.
You could just be really unlucky, too. Like, back in the Gjallarhorn days, like, Alfredo got 8 or 9 Gjallarhorns before I got my first one.
But it's
like,
super,
I was super unlucky.
Yeah. It's super. But most people are unlucky because it is. Yeah, the odds are, it's just odds, you know, they're stacked that way.
Totally.
So I don't think it's working quite as intended. And I say that because I've only got two 315 ghosts, and then bonds I've gotten up on 317 to 318, but very rarely, just like those single times.
Yep.
So, what the heck? I've played it a ton. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they didn't add that as part of the challenge modes. It seems like they actually don't want you to hit 320, though.
Yeah,
I mean that's
like,
part of the how they keep you grinding.
It's 2 points, right? One, there's only one way to progress, like Destin pointed out, and that's through the raid. And they have to do, like, stopgap fixes.
Yeah,
for PvE. They have to do stopgap fixes, like adding the item that everyone wants, the gear that everyone wants, to an external event, which is not really the way it should be working. And then it's also, it's also the fact that, like, people are unlucky, the drop rates are low, and those are the most wanted pieces. So it, like, has this doubly negative effect, right? Where, if you do it 50 times, you're going to be angry.
Yeah. But I don't think it's driving me as intended. Second question I think we should answer, though. Like, remember when the raid weapons were cool?
Yeah, they all had fire elemental damage. You could get Gallahorn, you could get Vex Mythoclast. The new raid weapons suck.
So let's do that quick comparison. Because, Sean, it's not that I think the cocoon effect on some of this stuff is awesome. And Harold Quillum's is a killer machine gun.
Yep.
Good stuff from there. But you get it pretty quickly, is the point.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Now, compare that to trying to get Vex Mythoclast. I mean, just the sound of that thing wherever you was awesome. I know, but you got it from Vault of Glass.
The only way you got it is Vault of Glass hard.
Let's go through the list first.
Yeah,
I know you know this. Yeah. I'm just using you as a device. I'm using you as a device. Fatebringer. Okay, everybody may or may not know the quest that I went on to get that.
Yeah. Love
crazy.
Fatebringer.
But you could only get it from the vault what's the boss's name
Templar, right?
Yeah, the Templar.
Yeah.
So anyway, there's that weapon. I actually really like Praetorian Foil. Super high impact, super rare.
Fusion.
So
I got that one like a year after. Like it was like third DLC
really
drop. And I was like, oh my God, I got Praetorian.
You could, if you're up close to an Oracle, for example, you can nuke it in like one shot. So it was like really cool. Mm-hmm. Aetheon's Epilogue. Also high rate of fire. A little like Doctrine with void damage. Okay. So now let's move on to Crozen. Name a couple of those real fast. What do we got?
The Sniper. Black Hammer.
Black Hammer, which was the pre-Black Spindle.
Yeah.
But it had the white nail or whatever, right?
Yeah. Black Hammer was like, you
Black
wanted
Hammer
that. And then they changed it and made it less desirable. That's
crazy. Oh, no, not just less desirable. Right. Totally not desirable.
Yeah.
They didn't just nerf it. They basically took that game, that gun out of the game.
And they're like, well, let's make it an exotic, I guess.
But
then it still uses ammo. So many problems there.
Then you had the Void Hand Cannon, which dropped only at Crota, I believe. Necrochasm, which you got by getting the Crux, which you infused into this husk that you got out of, just the drops.
Some great elemental damage primaries, like Abyss Defiant, for example.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And also...
The automatic fire arc damage pulse rifle.
I was just about to say, light. It's got light in the name. You made me forget it when you said it. But, like, we're going through a pretty sweet list
of weapons. I remember talking about these weapons. I remember getting them and being excited. Do you know what
I
don't remember?
Prison of Elders.
Any of the new raid weapons.
Yeah.
Because I infuse them like they're garbage into something else.
I do. I mean, Defiance of Yasmin is a great sniper. It's great for PvE and PvP overall. The hand cannons, Ahuli's Bane or whatever, just sucks. Smite of Rain is good, though.
Mm-hmm.
As is Quillum's, and then the what's the rocket called?
Harald something.
Well, yeah, everything's Harald. Everything's
Harald. Ilium's Frenzy.
That's it.
Yeah.
Ilium's Frenzy. But anyway.
Do you remember that rocket launcher or Gallahorn?
Well, but
again,
that didn't
Gallahorn's
drop from Vault.
I'm just saying.
Uh-huh. So... But we went through a huge list.
Point taken.
Okay, so let's compare it to Heezen's.
A lot of those are exotic.
No. Yeah. So Heezen's Vengeance was 3 in a tube, I believe, from Vault. And then you had the tracking Hunger of Crota, which was the rocket.
That was tracking, and then it would explode around. Yeah.
We should do that comparison like now in one big list as a video. Because when you go through everything, it's pale in comparison.
I don't think anyone would make the argument that the current raid weapons are cooler than the old raid weapons. There's no way, right?
Yeah.
Like, Fatebringer is legendary. Like, I used Fatebringer.
Yeah.
As soon as I
so
got
cool.
Fatebringer, I was like, is this thing good? And people were like, that's the best hand cannon in the game.
Yeah.
They're like, that should be
damage.
The very next thing you should level
and
up.
Firefly.
And I spent a lot of time, remember how we had to, like, level up bubbles, like, by using them and burning stuff on them?
Yep. The grind, man.
Yeah, and I finally got it to max, and I was like, this thing wrecks, and I used it all the way through Taken King, even, up until I learned where I got my better weapons. But you're right. Like, these new weapons, they're purpose-made for the raid. They have little to no, sort of usability outside of the raid. Like, I'd actually disagree with you. I don't think Defiance of Yasmin is that good as a sniper. Like, it's fast in PvE.
It's good for PvE.
It's
good for PvE.
A lot of people really love the zoom and the scope actually.
See, the zoom is
good
like
for PvE, not PvP necessarily.
No, but he's saying for PvP.
Love
Thousand Yards Stare is like the sniper.
Of course it is. Yeah. But everything's got their perks. But trust me, I mean, Defiance
even
is
Irene
it's on the list.
Or R4, I think, is better. But whatever, you're right.
Yeah.
So that's the thing is, like, there's just not a lot of people using those weapons for anything besides the raid, PvE, which is not the best thing in the world, but like I do buy into the philosophy that like I'm the one of the few player, I guess not few, but like I don't really see a lot of other people with a totally different set of weapons and equipment and gear for PvP versus PvE. I have two entirely different sets.
Yeah.
And like I buy into this philosophy that like some of these guns should be more effective doing one thing than another, and I just think the raid weapons fall too squarely into that sort of track.
Well, they you know, it's probably a topic for a longer show later. Yeah. You know, we need to stretch out our topics as well. It's getting late. But what I will say is, right, you look back at the elemental damage and primary. I really feel like I don't understand that.
Like why they took
why they got rid of it.
I have no reason to use a lot of those raid weapons except for in the raid. And then as you go through the list, I think we could talk about the weapons we actually used out of the year one. Mm-hmm. And when you get into year two raid weapons, like it's a small list of what you actually use and where. And they need to fix that.
It's confusing. Final thoughts from me. Sean, I actually have to disagree with you. You say, like, that's how MMOs work. Like, where the next piece
content
of content is how you strive toward an end game. I disagree with you because just because that's how they work doesn't mean that's how they should work.
No, and, talking about MMOs. Yeah. What I'm talking about is, like, what, like, if you had to distill Destiny, like, let's say Destiny didn't exist, but you were building it. What is the gameplay loop, right? Mm-hmm. The gameplay loop is this constant progression forward and constant tweaking to get better and better, right, over time, either via gear or via weapons,
but
right?
But audience expectation, and I did want to have the same comment, I think, was like, you know that because you've played a ton of MMOs and stuff. A lot of people don't understand that that's potentially going to happen. So I think the issue is his expectation, regardless of the fact that there's a precedent, he didn't know that, like, the raid was going to be, like, unleveled, you know, and left behind. So, like, I do understand. I think it's a fair point.
No, I agree with you. It is a fair point.
It's about expectation.
Because, like, it is a fair point. I'm not saying that he can't feel this way or anything. But, like, what I'm saying is that I think...
You're off the hook, man.
Yeah, on a basic, the basic understanding of what this game is dictates a philosophy that's antithetical to this, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't... It would be like me criticizing Halo, or it would be like me criticizing Dota for only having one map. For you MOBA people out here, Dota only has one map.
I think the
variation and the difference in gameplay changes by the heroes and the teams you play, not by the map.
Yes.
And that would, to me, that's the same similar argument. It's like you're criticizing the game for something that it never was supposed to do.
Well, but now Destiny only has one map. It's called the new raid.
But that's why it's about expectation. I do think when you said actually that you knew it was going to happen that way, we didn't. We didn't know that, like, you know, the gear, you know, the helmet, the chest would be left behind from raid to raid. So that was new. And I think that's what you say. I didn't know that I was going to sink all this time in the vault. And who knows when you did it. Maybe you did it right before Dark Blow. And the next thing you know, it's like, I can't really use that anymore. That was a huge problem. So... Anyway, I think
if I got to 320 through Vault, or I got what's the new raid off the top? King's Fall. If I got there through King's Fall, who cares? I have a story to tell that I got through Vault. There's still stuff that I want in King's Fall. There's still stuff that I want to get in Dark Below, but not right now. Right now, there's three things I can do: Trials, Iron Banner, King's Fall.
Yeah, and only at certain times.
And that needs to be fixed. Bungie, I'm begging you. You have phenomenal content. That is just dead.
Chilling.
Mm-hmm. It's just dead. No reason to go there. Like, I can go there for fun if I want to, but the player base wants to strive towards something.
And again, to preface, I'm on this guy's side. Like, and on your guys' side. Like, I really wish that Bungie would update old stuff too. Old strikes, old raids, because I do want to go back and play that content. But what I am saying is that I don't think it's a valid criticism to say that the whole game needs to be updated to the same level at every iteration of the game.
It's not every iteration.
Right, but again, again, I think it's separate issues. His was mostly about audience expectation and being transparent to the audience ahead of time. So I think we get the game now, though. So the good news is you can expect this type of thing in the future.
We could go on this for a really long time.
We should wrap it up. I do want to put it out there for you all to think about, maybe for a future topic. I now have a theory, listening through all this, that it's a maintenance issue. Because we see all the bugs that creep up. And so imagine running all the servers with all the different things and make, like, remember when ogres are warping? We should talk about that. Yeah. I have a feeling it might have something to do with the support teams. How much can you support at once?
Yeah.
Let's table that first.
They have this live team, right, that is responsible for creating stuff
new
and maintaining stuff on the fly. And then there's teams that build stuff that are big in the future. I'm sure what it is like, they have the team that designed the raid. Mm-hmm. That raid is finished and then it ships and then that team is now working on a different raid or something else down the line and it's someone else's job to make sure that raid is just working perfectly, but they're already doing King's Fall and already doing other stuff. So
we should talk about that later. Yeah. Bungie, a great idea for a ride along. Yeah. Tell us about how that works and help us understand.
There we go. So. Guys, thank you for joining me. We got to get out of here. Thank you guys for joining us. Leave us a review on iTunes. Check out our store. Go.ign.com.
Wearing the shirt.
/store, right?
Yeah. Go to IGN.com/store, get a Fireteam chat shirt.
Put it on your body.
Yeah.
I do all the time.
Until next time, Guardians out.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Get inspired while learning all about the unique planes of existence. Get the in-depth knowledge you need to help your combat encounters feel impactful, or learn about the origins and pantheons of every race and class the game offers. No stone is left unturned as every edition of the game is explored and explained in a way that benefits players of all different levels of experience. You can expand your TTRPG horizons in a way that's as entertaining as it is educational just by listening. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcast app or YouTube and search for The Dungeon Cast.